Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Wednesday, also known as Hump Day, right? Yeah. An amazing, gorgeous sort of weekly occasion here at The Toast.
Weekly occasion. Bruno's here to celebrate.
Of course.
Bruno hasn't missed a day of work in about 3 weeks.
Holy shit.
It's major for Brew. He did retire a few months ago, and he came out of retirement after losing all of his money in cryptocurrency investments and just bad choices.
Speaking of rumors and financial decisions about a man named Bruno, I wanted to clear something up I said on the show yesterday. Apparently the rumor about Bruno Mars owing $50 million to some casino was like an AI-generated rumor that I fell for. So it's
added
not
to
true.
The list with the Pope and his puffer coat.
It's not true. And it's also true that Bruno Mars already has a Vegas residency.
Great. And I know I didn't stand up for my boy yesterday, my boy Bruno the second. I guess he's Bruno the first. This will be Bruno the second.
Oh, when you said Bruno the second, I thought you were talking about Bruno Weinreb.
Even though Bruno Weinreb is number one in my heart,
of course.
He's the second because he was named after Bruno the first.
And he was born after.
So even though I didn't stand up for Bruno the first yesterday, I just feel like everyone knows my heart and knows that I wouldn't have a slanderous thing to say about Bruno the first.
I like literally don't know what we're talking about
anymore. This is what I'm saying.
We've out-larped. We've lost the plot.
No, it's just because their names are Bruno. Both of them. But that all is that to say is like, I know I didn't say Bruno the first would never.
By the way, why don't you just use real names for the sake of clarity?
I know I didn't say yesterday, I don't believe you about Bruno Mars. He would never do that.
I didn't say that.
I didn't stand up for him because you were just like slinging these allegations out of nowhere.
As facts.
Right. And I just trusted my sister.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like everyone can trust and believe. Everyone knows my heart to know that I love and support Bruno Mars. Period.
I like literally don't even know what you're talking about.
I feel
like are you saying like you're like a crazy Bruno Mars stan and that we like all should have known that you would never would have believed that he did anything wrong?
No, I'm saying I'm a crazy Bruno Mars stan, but I didn't act like it yesterday because I just took what you said as truth and I didn't stand up for him and I'm ashamed for that. But you guys know what's on my heart and that I love Bruno Mars and I support him.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Are you getting it yet?
You know, I get it. A little. No, that's great. That's
Am
really
I speaking
really...
English? Sound off in the comments.
No, I get it. I get it. I get it. I guess I kind of forgot. I wouldn't consider you like a Bruno Mars stan, but at the end of the day,
I name my dog after him. I love him.
When the chips fall where they may, you are.
Just like you're a Shakespeare stan because you named your dog Romeo.
I actually named my dog Romeo because I wanted like a very small like connection to a Taylor Swift lyric. That was like that's how the name Romeo got on the list of names. And then it ended up being the name. And speaking of potential names for Romeo, another name on the list that we were talking about this morning, actually, was Tevye, which is, you know, a famous name from a famous film called Fiddler on the Roof that we actually watched last night. Now, I know I have seen Fiddler on the Roof because there was a middle school adaptation where Jackie played Chava.
Mm-hmm.
And Olivia...
She slayed the house down boots. Olivia had graduated by that point. Oh. It was my eighth grade play. When Olivia was in eighth grade, she was Belle in Beauty and the Beast.
And we have not talked about a single thing since that day.
Little town.
So I know it's about Anna Tevka. I know everyone's Jewish. And I know that there's daughters. And the whole point of the movie is like getting the daughters married and the various journey, you know, that takes us on. I can't remember the last time I saw the movie. And if I have seen the movie, it was maybe one time. So we started it two nights ago. It's a very long movie, so we're going to finish it tonight.
We're watching it in installments. We made it to intermission last night, but we still had an hour left. So
we called hour it. And 9 minutes, and we're going to finish it tonight, which I'm really, really excited
it's
about.
It's probably far less than that because you know they made a meal of the credits, just like they made a meal of the credits in the beginning.
Yeah, they did. It was like a 15-minute credit intro. And I'm loving it, by the way. Like, first of all, just watching it, like, with the girlies, maybe it's just, like, better because we're, like, giggling the whole time.
We're hysterical. And also, I think it's really enjoyable because so many of these references, songs that we sing and things that we say, like, we don't even realize hail from Fiddler on the Roof, but it's nice to, like, place them.
Tradition. Like, of course.
Sunrise, sunset.
If I was a rich man, co-opted by the great Gwen Stefani.
It is so crazy that Gwen Stefani sampled that song. I have so much respect. I feel like Gwen Stefani like gets called out for cultural appropriation a lot. And I guess in this instance, like, sure, she's appropriating Tevye.
Mm-hmm.
I love it for her.
Me too.
I'm so glad that she brought the song to millions of people.
But it is a weird that there's a pop song out there where like the catchy hook originated from a, you know, an early 1900s Russian village.
No, and so it's a movie that's based on a play that's based on a book by Shalom Aleichem. He's like the classic Yiddish writer.
Okay.
So it goes way back. And I just want to thank Gwen Stefani
for bringing it into the fold.
Deep cut.
It's a deep cut. There are so many songs on there that I just really matchmaker, make me a match, find me a find, catch me a catch, which most people probably know from Mrs. Doubtfire when he's being turned into a woman and him and his brother end up making someone who looks like Barbra Streisand.
A babushka.
Loving every minute of it. Who do you identify with as a daughter? And it's really crazy that Tevye had five daughters, just like Teresa.
Yeah.
How many daughters does Teresa have?
Four.
Same thing.
I think maybe I identify with the second oldest.
Wait, I'm just thinking of a piece of content we need to make for our Instagram later.
Okay.
The cover of Fiddler on the Roof with all the daughters, but it's Teresa and her daughters.
Okay, love that. I don't identify with any of them like I see myself, but the one that I like the best right now is Huddle, the second.
Well, and she also like is the so most beautiful. Yeah, she's the one who like looks the least Jewish also. I like Zeitzel. I think I also love the name Zeitzel. I like can't stop saying it. I'm like, did you see what Zeitzel was wearing? She has a good head on her shoulders, you know?
Yeah.
And there's like such a popular restaurant in, it's in Brooklyn. It's like an Israeli restaurant that everyone's been talking about. It's like the hardest place to get a reservation, and it's called Laser Wolf. And now I understand why it's called Laser Wolf, because that's the name of the butcher in Fiddler on the Roof, which is a great reference and a great name for a restaurant that serves meat.
Agreed. I just want to say Laser Wolf, P-Jom.
Laser Wolf got a bad edit.
You know? No, it's like, it's just not told from Laser's POV. So he looks like not even the villain, but you just don't know, like, what's Laser going through? He lives in that big house.
Widower.
All alone. He obviously has dealt with grief, the passing of his wife. He's now dealing with loneliness.
He throws himself into work, which is why he's so successful.
And we don't even know, like, what he saw in Seidel that made him fall in love with her. And then to have that so brutally rebuffed after a night of celebration.
I do want to say, that Seidel, while she wasn't excited about the prospect of marrying Laser Wolf, once she came to terms, she would have had a good life and she would have been happy. He would have been good to her. And by the way, I love Motzel, who she ended up marrying. Obsessed, like the poor Taylor. He's so cute. He looks like someone we went to high school with. Like, obsessed. Now, another thing I wanted to say that I feel like really was resonating with the current climate, given what's going on college campuses, et cetera, et cetera. It's like the first half of the movie is like silly village tings. Who am I going to marry? You know, this guy thinks he's, you know, so smart. Like, everyone, it's silly village drama. It's a soap opera, if you will. And then at the very end of the first act, there's a pogrom where, you know, everything else is just sort of put into perspective. Who am I going to marry? Who's doing the dishes?
Like, those are luxuries.
It becomes so irrelevant almost. And I don't know what's waiting for me in the second half of the film, but I'm sure we'll focus on more serious matters like the Tsar and the pogroms. And I feel like that's very relatable.
Yeah, no, it's just Jews constantly being kicked out of their lands. And it's like, it's so funny because when you're in Russia, it's like, go back to Israel. When you're in Israel, it's like, go back to Poland.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a circle jerk.
Yeah, no, and it's like, it's just, some things are eternal. And that, I guess, Jewish hatred is one of them, which is just very sad.
No, but a movie from over 100 years ago and seeing the same sort of trope and how it gets started. Like, he gets told there might be a pogrom, but it's happening other places. It's not going to happen to us.
Yeah.
That's how it feels. And that's how it's always felt. Like, we've always seen it. It's like, well, it's not going to happen to us. And now it's literally happening in New York.
No, and it just morphs and it takes on whatever the flavor of the day is these days. It's anti-colonialism, anti-racism.
No, and it's like, stop the genocide, which there is no genocide. And it latches onto a popular political movement. It was Nazism. Now it's pro-Palestinianism.
Yeah.
So,
but it's all the same. But it's all the same. And that's why when we tell you like anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism, and someone who knows nothing tells you that it isn't, they're wrong. That's why.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. But no, it's, and also that's where we hail from. So I don't know exactly when our direct ancestors came from Russia to America, but this is their story.
This is our story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's also why I feel like we feel so connected to it. And I don't know if it's like in my DNA. I don't think that it is. Maybe it's just a coincidence why I'm so interested in Russian history. And I always have been. Mm-hmm. I'm even reading Tsarina now, which is 1725. So it's like a little different. But I just find it so interesting. And maybe that's me like just trying to understand my people.
It's this instinctual sort of you reaching out to your ancestors. It's your birthright.
Yeah. To understand.
And I love that.
Yeah. Anyway, Tsarina's really good, you guys. Still recommend.
And that's Tsarina, not Serena.
Yeah.
Do you remember when, I feel like I literally bring this up once, whenever we talk about Serena Williams, I talk about two things.
College paper.
Of course. And do
the
I
The time that you met her? That we
no,
met her?
No, where we happen to have the ugliest photo ever taken of me on record.
Yeah.
That's actually three things I say when we bring up Serena Williams. The photo, the college paper, and like, did that commercial for Serena Williams' fragrance leave an indelible mark on anyone else when they were like 11 years old, where she had a perfume that was her name backwards because her name backwards is Inaris.
Yeah, you've shared that before.
And I just thought that was like truly brilliant marketing. Like I never got over it.
That's where you got the bug.
I never got over it. And that therein was like the seed planted.
That's your origin story.
Of the Serena obsession.
Of how you got into marketing and media.
1000%. And ended up meeting Serena Williams.
Oh yeah.
In that truly fugly picture that whenever we talk about, people ask us to post. And it's so ugly, I actually won't post it. I posted it one time and I put an emoji over my face. Like you really, there's something special. It's, you know what it is? That is my poot. Except the image isn't distorted. Unfortunately, that's what I look like.
The poot image isn't distorted. It was just like the cat.
No, it is distorted. Like the flash, like it literally, in that moment, she didn't look like that. In the moment of the Serena Williams photo, that is what I looked like.
Yes, no, but like the picture of poot is not distorted post photo. Like it was a weird.
The camera lighting malfunctioned.
Plus the light, like, and the flashes of the other. It was weird, but that was what happened.
In my Serena photo, the camera worked fine. The lighting was fine. Like, yeah. It was me.
You were pooed. Yeah. Damn. So.
So Tevye.
Tevye.
As the good book says.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how long the second half could be. I don't really remember much else happening other than, you know, the immigration time.
I know, like, some,
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Yeah, no, by the way, there's also big news coming out of Chava's camp.
Yeah, but those things are like kind of happen quickly. Do you know what I mean? Like, I all mean, of a sudden, like, Hodel and the socialist are like in love.
In a biblical sense, like, who's Hodel?
Second daughter.
Oh, yeah, but he's Jewish, right?
Yeah, but he's just like a radical. Communist radical, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because, actually, these days, that's like normative.
Because Chava, the redheaded sister, in a biblical way, I need to see her run off with the non-Jew. Like, Ted's going to send Tevye into a tailspin.
Especially after the pogrom.
I know, when like our Judaism and our faith are even more paramount.
But it's like, these are his people who committed this.
Right.
So the betrayal is even deeper.
No, I'm obsessed. Expect full recap on Thursday's show.
Tomorrow.
Today, we'll be doing the Fast Five and Dear Toasters. The girlies are writing in and AI is taking a toll on someone's relationship.
Okay, it's time to move to the farm.
It's time to move to a farm.
This morning, I watched a video of Ballerina Farm milking one of her new cows.
Classic.
Breaking her in. She did an amazing job.
I feel like she was really, like, she's obviously, but she had a moment like a month ago. Or how long ago was that when like all we talked about was Ballerina?
Yeah, like 2 months ago.
Swirlerina. And everyone was talking about her. It was, you know, we were talking about her, but then she was the pageant. It was just all just things.
Everything was coming up Ballerina. She also just gave birth.
Right. And it was like her eighth child, the eighth wonder of the world. So it was really, everything was coming up Ballerina. And now it's not, and I feel like she's sort of, you know, didn't let it affect her. Like, she's obviously still milking her own cows, you know?
Yeah.
The fame didn't get to her.
Yeah, no, and she was breaking in a new cow, showing, like, what you should do to get the cow ready.
It's amazing.
It's amazing what she's doing. It's giving Fiddler on the Roof, honestly. She's Tevye, the milkwoman.
Tevye, yeah. He's also the milkman in town. Highly recommend. We're watching the 1970s version, which I think is, like,
oh, the one.
There's one before it, I think. Jackie and I also then got to talking about how, like, the movie's really old. It's a classic. And we're just waiting. Like, it's going to get redone soon. No. It's one of those movies that really needs to get redone every 30, 40 years.
Claudia said that it should get redone modern. Please, God, no. It would be, like, filled with, like, Chloe Fineman and, like, the rabbi from My Big Ugly Bat Mitzvah. Yeah. That female rabbi.
It would be radicalized.
It would be so offensive.
I want to say, I do think, because it's a really old movie, I would love to have it redone, but a few things need to be put in place. There needs to be a committee that Jackie and I are at the helm of.
An advisory council.
All decisions and casting, like, every decision needs to get passed by the elders. That's us. Who else? I would put on the committee, like, well, anybody I would put on the committee. I would put Jessica Seinfeld on the committee. She would be on my committee. Maybe I could put a Goy in there. Megan McCain could get on there too.
Okay.
Just to preserve the sanctity of this film. When it comes to casting, it's so hard because, like, who would I want to bestow this honor upon?
Tevye.
I do think Liev Schreiber could play Tevye.
I think Sacha Baron Cohen could play Tevye.
I don't think he's old enough.
He's in his 50s.
Okay. It's not a bad call. It's not a bad call. But I do think Liev Schreiber would do, like, a better job.
Another name swirling, Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, yeah. Well, there's
it would
a lot
kind
of
be like a real departure for Adam Sandler, like a real character acting, like Oscar worthy moment for him.
I think the hardest thing to cast would be the daughters, because I'm sorry, like, I will only be casting Jewish actresses, and not just any Jewish actress. It's such an important piece of literature in Judaism. Like, you have to be above and beyond in terms of your activism and your pride when it comes to Judaism.
Leah Michelle, even though she's not the most proud, but she's an amazing Jewish singer,
by the way.
She gets the role of Seidel.
1,000%. I didn't even think of that.
And you know who's Muddle.
Okay, but you know, Lea Michele's only half Jewish, but it's fine. It's fine.
It will allow it.
It's fine. You know who's Motel? Let me think. Jonathan, her boyfriend in real life, Jonathan Groff, he's Jewish, right?
I don't know, and that wasn't my answer. Timothy Chalamet. Singer, actor.
I could see him playing a poor Taylor for
Jew
sure.
Yeah. Taylor.
I like it. Now let's move on to the second daughter. What's her name?
Huddle. Gorgeous so girl.
She's like the most beautiful. Let me think. I need a list because I don't know who's like.
They're supposed to be young. Remember, these girls are like probably
supposed 16 to be young, to right?
18. They're not old maiden ones.
Okay, wait. Well, we have to throw Emmanuel Chikri in there.
Okay,
but she's I think a little aged out of the role. Same with Mila Kunis. There's no roles for them.
There's no roles for them. No, there's not. Sorry.
Okay, wait. I didn't know she was Jewish, but she does sing. Diana Agron.
There's no role for her.
Okay. I'm not seeing anyone.
I guess if we can cast Lea Michele, we can cast Diana Agron.
No, you're right. Like maybe we're getting some no names. We're discovering some talent.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to cast myself in there.
Which one would you play?
I mean, ScarJo. ScarJo needs a role. ScarJo, is she Golda?
That's like kind of
rude. She's too young for
that. No, but the thing is she's probably 35, ScarJo, and like the girls are 16 to 18, and then Golda and Tevye are in their 40s maybe.
I know who plays the teacher radical communist. Adam Brody.
Too old. Fuck. No, like Timothy Chalamet and his elk are perfect.
Yeah, but who's like of that age, of that elk?
And Jewish.
And proud Jewish. There's a lot of Jews in Hollywood who are truly the woat.
Yeah.
And I won't be casting Ben Platt, even though he's perfect for it.
Will not be casting Ben Platt.
Will not be casting Platt, comma Ben.
But you know what I might do? I might have him audition and bring him all the way to the end and waste his time and then get him down to like number two while knowing the whole time that he'll never get it.
I'm really trying to... Oh, Lily Collins is Jewish because she's giving second daughter.
Yeah. She's gonna I'll allow it.
So we have work to do. Sound off in the comments. Which prideful Jewish actresses would you cast and actors in Fiddler on the Roof, Jax and Turdy's version?
J and C V.
J and TV. JTV.
Jax and Claude.
They call it Taylor's version. TV.
JTV.
JTV.
Okay.
So that's something we've been working on, a project we've been talking about. What have you guys been doing?
A passion project.
A passion project.
Even though I feel firmly like there's no way that they could redo Fiddler on the Roof and not ruin it.
No, and we're never going to get like an iconic actor like Topol, who plays Tevye, who we were just researching earlier this morning, ended up being, he like worked in the government for Israel. He was like a Mossad spy while using his celebrity to leverage, you know, leveraging his celebrity to do that.
Yeah, he played Tevye on Broadway for like over 30 years. Not Broadway, in
different versions. Musical.
What's like everything
adaptations,
to me is Broadway.
Adaptations.
If you're on a stage, it's Broadway. Dream that big.
Couldn't be further from the truth.
No.
But I don't know. I could see Liev Schreiber also being an agent for Mossad.
I'm voting for Sacha Baron Cohen. I think he'd slay the house down boots.
Sound off in the comments. Liev or Sacha for Tevye?
Who's your Tevye?
Title.
Who's your Tevye?
Find your Tevye.
No, who's your Tevye?
Yeah.
Like,
who's your daddy?
Daddy.
Love that.
But I just want to restate, please don't remake it. Please. For the love of God.
And if you do remake it, it is of paramount importance that you have some sort of committee in place with the elders of Zion. That's what the committee's called.
The elders of the protocols of Zion.
The church elders. Like, that's what they need to keep it in check and make sure they don't go all Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be woke. Tevye is like, you know, something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I won't allow it.
Oh, funny to think about.
Now, we have five stories, but we also have Dear Toasters. So I'm going to, you know, make a executive decision.
Maybe Tevye, like, makes almond milk as the milkman because he doesn't want to abuse the cow.
He runs a dairy-free milk farm that is also a safe space.
Yeah. And then, like...
No, I'm telling you, Hollywood could do it. They would make it like crazy.
Yeah, and I feel like when he's in his barn like singing,
yeah,
there's some cross-dressing
for sure. Like they're gonna,
the options are endless to how you could ruin this movie,
and we won't allow it.
So now, without further ado,
yep,
it is time for the Fast Five Stories That You Need to Know.
And the Fast Five Stories That You Need to Know are brought to you by Thrive Market. One thing everyone has to do is grocery shop. So why not do it from the comfort of your couch? For me, that's where Thrive Market comes in. The no junk food, healthy grocery store that even kids love. So Jax is, I feel, a testament to Thrive Market's ability to satiate all different types of mouths.
Yeah, I get Thrive Market delivered all the time, but I had a major order delivered because I have a full house and I've got a lot of people with different dietary preferences right now. True. And we have snacks for days, would you say?
I would. And you also have kosher for Passover snacks for days, which is not easy.
I do, because you could, if you want to do kosher for Passover, shop on Thrive Market, just search gluten-free. Hack.
They are the go-to for all of our grocery and household essentials. The convenience of getting everything online and quickly delivered to your doorstep is a huge time saver. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks, low sugar alternatives, gluten-free pantry essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks to make simpler, healthier swaps. So you also save money on every single order while you're saving time shopping on Thrive Market. On an average, we're saving over 30% each time. They even have a deals page that changes daily, so you can always find some of your favorite brands on there. When you join Thrive Market, you're also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thetoast for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/thetoast for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. thrivemarket.com/thetoast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Skylight Frames. Skylight Frames is a perfect gift for moms and grandmas this Mother's Day. It's the perfect digital picture frame that keeps your whole family connected. Just in time for Mother's Day, our listeners are getting 15% off. So with Mother's Day approaching, thinking about what you want to get for the special woman in your life, Mother's Day is a gift where, like, you don't go like crazy extravagant, you go sentimental.
Mm.
And a digital picture frame from Skylight Frames is truly the perfect gift. They come in two different sizes. Grandparents love it too, and I know you're gonna think, well, my grandma can't even turn the TV on. How could she do? You can do it all. Even the least tech-savvy person can set it up, and the young person, the purchaser, can add photos from their phone. It's so easy, really. You just set it up for Gran, or she can really set it up herself, and you do all the work. Finding the perfect gift for Gran or mother can be stressful, not with Skylight Frames. The Skylight Frame is a touchscreen photo frame. Your whole family can upload photos to it. They will appear in seconds, and you're getting to share your favorite moments with the people that matter most to you. It's really the perfect gift. They have 100% satisfaction guaranteed. So if you don't love your Skylight Frame, they will offer you a full refund. As a special limited time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your first purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/toast. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/toast. Mother's Day is coming right up, so order today to get that 15% off your purchase at skylightframe.com/toast. It is a real photo frame. It looks like a real photo frame, but it really adds a beautiful touch to your home, and you get more than one photo. Like, old photo frames could never. We're saving space. We're saving the planet. skylightframe.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Primally Pure, one of my favorite brands, especially at Jackie's house, because that's really where I discovered it. So that time of the month for the girlies, achy cramps, PMS, pain, all the signs that your cycle has arrived. What if we told you that your monthly flow could become a friend, not a period that you dread? Because Primally Pure has just launched their Cycle Soothing Spray. It is an expertly formulated and research-backed product with over 2,700 milligrams of elemental magnesium per bottle. It's a miracle mineral known to ease discomfort and soothe period symptoms. Ben got me on the magnesium train. I'm not going to, like, give him credit a while ago. It really is like that bitch, magnesium. And to use it for your period, I love. Their exclusive aroma blend contains 9 sweet and spicy essential oils with synergistic benefits that have been used for centuries to support women's health and homeostasis. If you're craving fewer cramps and a calmer nervous system, all you need is a cycle soothing spray from Primally Pure. If you're wanting to ditch the endocrine disrupting ingredients to help balance hormonal health for fewer period symptoms, Primally Pure offers a complete line of clean products from skin, body, hair, and home, including their cult following natural deodorant and our latest obsession, the body butter, which healed my sunburn in mere days. So if you're tired of discomfort during your monthly menstrual cycle, try the Cycle Soothing Spray from Primally Pure. And you can do that at primallypure.com/toast. That's www.primallypure.com/toast. Use code TOAST at checkout for 15% off your order. Again, that is primallypure.com/toast. Code TOAST for 15% off your order. Your order.
Your order. Are you ready for our first story?
Yes.
Some like kind of unfounded rumor news that I am going to take to be true.
Okay.
Daniel Tosh claims that Kylie is pregnant with Timothée Chalamet's baby. So Daniel Tosh went on his podcast and said that he was at a Malibu grocery store that had been closed the day before. And he asked the grocery store worker why they were closed. And he said, oh, well, I can't say, but they were filming the Kardashians here yesterday, their show. And so they shut down the whole grocery store. And in the scene at the grocery store, Kylie tells her family that she is pregnant with Timothée Chalamet's baby.
So let's first talk about like the validity, potential validity of the rumor. I will say I really appreciate him explaining how he found this out. It sounds plausible. It's not like the craziest thing I've ever heard.
No, I think that as far as merit, there's very little here. You know, a grocery, why would they announce her pregnancy in a grocery store?
That's the fatal flaw of the rumor, is that even if she didn't want to make it like the biggest deal ever, she certainly wouldn't share something that's clearly very secretive and under wraps in a grocery store in public. She would like invite everyone over to her house.
Right. So I don't think that what Daniel Tosh heard is true. I don't. And TMZ has already said that it's not true. But I want it to be true. And so I'm holding space for both things. Mm-hmm. Like realizing it's probably not true, but then like a little bit of like getting my hopes up. Like, what if? How fun. Oh my gosh, should I get pregnant now? Like, I want to be pregnant with Kylie.
No, and like Timothée as a dad.
That's a really like strong, like, you know,
person with thing.
Backbone.
No, like seriously, if you got pregnant because Kylie was, or anyone.
Not even that, because there was a rumor.
Oh, right. And then it turns out not to be true. And here you are like pregnant.
No, it was a joke, you guys. But that's how much I love this idea that she's pregnant.
Sign up for the comments.
It makes me want to get pregnant.
If you think Jackie's not joking. I just feel like you're always looking for an excuse to get pregnant, honestly.
That could be. It has less to do with Kylie and more to do with me.
Yeah.
It's not like you being like, Kylie's pregnant. I'm going. I'm on my way.
No, but like, let's say Taylor announced she was pregnant. Like, I would seriously like start trying tomorrow.
I feel like she's one of the people who's like, would affect you.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And there are people who don't affect you. Anyone older than you doesn't affect you. Even though Taylor's older than you, but she kind of...
She sets the standard.
She's been a holdout like you.
Yeah, like, whenever someone announces they're pregnant, Jackie's like, how does this make you feel?
I'm like, pulse check. Are your ovaries tingling?
If it's someone older than me, I never think much of it. Like, it's... Yeah, that's what you should be doing. I'm 12. I'm 12 and you're 30.
Old maiden.
Yeah. when it's someone younger than me or my age, like, it's a real tough loss. I'm not going to lie. And I always come up with a reason to be like, it's fine.
If Kylie were pregnant with her third child,
it would mean nothing to me.
It would mean nothing to you, because like she's just like, you're on different tracks at this point.
When I was 21, if I was a billionaire, I might also have three children now.
Okay, if Kendall were pregnant, would it mean anything to you?
Zilch.
Okay, but if Taylor were pregnant?
I would be like, oh, sure. She might be the only like celebrity. I feel like it means more when people in your life get pregnant, yes, not celebrities.
No, I'm doing both.
Yeah.
I'm doing both. I'm holding space for both.
Yeah.
So probably not true. Really hoping that it is. I would love that for them. I fully like love and adore Kylie and Timothée. And I hope that she has his babies today.
And it's not the most outlandish, like the message of the rumor, the actual rumor itself, isn't the craziest concept. Like Kylie already has two kids. They low-key have been together for a while if they're still together. Mm-hmm. That's another thing is like, we haven't heard from them in a while. And the last thing we heard was like, maybe that they're broken up. Remember when she said she didn't want to talk about it in that interview? Like, so I don't know. Like either they're having a baby or they're not together. That's right. How weird rumors can be.
But that's how life works. Like you either shit or get off the pot. You don't keep sitting on it.
Love that.
So I hope there's a baby here and that Daniel Tosh's sources are correct.
It's possible.
What do you think?
When I heard it, I don't know. It wasn't the craziest thing. I feel like it could be true. But if TMZ already said it's not.
But maybe they want to protect, like maybe Chris was like, you shut that shit down.
No, but if they're so protective over this rumor, she wouldn't be saying it in a public grocery store.
Right.
She would have done it at her house.
Right.
Literally like in the plane.
It doesn't add up.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
Damn.
It's too bad.
It is too bad. Maybe one day.
Another Jewish Kardashian we love.
Love. To play in Fiddler on the Roof. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
Something that's kind of a follow-up to a story from last week, which I didn't get to discuss with you, but that was Caitlin Clark. She signed to the WNBA, making a paltry salary for a professional basketball player.
What's paltry mean?
Like low.
Yeah, of course. It was like $300,000 over a couple of years.
Yeah, just about.
It was like $70,000 per year.
More or less. She just set a new Nike deal valued at $28 million over 8 years.
Okay.
So Caitlin Clark's getting her payday.
Because when Ben and I were talking about this, we were talking about how low the salary was, but that she'll probably make about 10. That's what Ben thought, in endorsements. And I think she already works with State Farm, which is obviously, you know, a big high paying company. So, wow.
Okay. This is great. I'm so glad that she's getting her payday, which we knew was coming her way, and it's not going to come from the WNBA because, you know, you guys don't watch it, and mm-hmm. you never will. Yeah. And stop complaining about their payday when you don't watch it.
Yeah.
But then I saw Dave Portnoy's take on this, and he thinks that this is so criminally low for her.
$28 million?
$28 million over 8 years.
He I said, guess actually, yeah.
Like, as a point of reference, Devin Booker got $50 million for 5 years, $10 million yep. a year. And like Dave Portnoy said, every girl who plays basketball is going to buy these shoes. Like yep. every girl, period. She's yep. going to out earn this so quickly, and that this is insultingly low.
You know what? I agree.
Yeah.
Because Nike's like, what, they pay just insane amounts of money. And Devin Booker is really good and really popular and
but he's not
and relevant in culture.
But he's not the number one of his gender.
When you think about his, you know, standing as the basketball players of all time, he's kind of like irrelevant.
Yeah.
And she's like the best female basketball player of all
time. She's the number one of her gender, and that's 50% of the market.
Yeah. Mm, do you think it's 50% of the shoes sold by Nike are women?
Oh, that's a great question. No.
Especially, isn't Nike is... Jordan?
Is part of Nike, I think.
Like Air Jordan, right? The movie?
I think so, yeah.
Right, so, I mean, that's like a huge seller. But I wear
Jordans.
Right,
Air Force Ones.
So they sell to both. Google it. What percentage of Nike sales are men and women?
Okay, that was a fair point.
Because what? Honestly...
Do you think any men will buy her shoe?
No. Caitlin Clark... But they were gonna... But listen, so Caitlin Clark, I want to say, is like the LeBron.
Yes.
What did LeBron get paid? Now, she shouldn't get the...
But she should get the same percentage of her market. But exactly. Then to also think that 32% of women...
Okay, that's pretty high. It's not half, but it's high.
And how many women basketball players have sneakers with Nike? Like, she's kind of cannibalizing all the Nike basketball sneakers, whereas they have Devin Booker, this one, right. that one, this one, that one.
She's the only one.
Yeah.
It is low. I like that take. I'm happy she's getting $28 million, but like that...
She deserves more.
I agree.
Because she will probably
sell
more. She should also, I'm sure, and maybe she has this, like in the deal, if she outsells, she should get a percentage of sales.
Yes.
So that way, the more she sells, the more she makes. If she doesn't sell, she doesn't make. Great.
I do really wonder what
sort of- She doesn't make aside from her $28 million.
I do wonder what sort of impact the Caitlin Clark saga will have on WNBA ticket sales, viewership, if any. Because people really do love to. And when I saw it, I was like, holy shit, that's so low. And I did then nothing after that to support the WNBA. No, it's not something
you didn't stream WNBA.
I didn't follow any of the teams. Like, it's just not something of interest to me. So I do wonder, because this is probably for the first time in a really long time where we're having that conversation about the WNBA. Is there going to be an impact? We'll soon find out.
I think so, because people were referencing the final that she played in was like the most watched game yeah. ever for that category. So I do think that would translate into WNBA viewership. In some way.
In some way.
To what degree, I couldn't say.
We will find out. I will be really, really curious.
Yeah.
And before you come at me, I don't watch men's basketball either, so.
I said that with Mary when I said, I'm not at fault here because I don't watch either.
Ben has been like begging me to watch the Knicks in the playoffs. Like you couldn't get me to care. I don't know why.
And is he begging you to watch the WNBA? No. So it's his fault. Yes. Blame Ben.
Love that.
When in doubt.
When in doubt.
No, but seriously. Like,
at Ben we shout.
It's so crazy how everyone was so up in arms, but it's like, are you watching the WNBA?
No, and I really will. I had a lot of respect for Tanya Rad posting, like, you know, she was up in arms too, Modern Woman. And then she told everyone all the things she was doing. She bought a jersey. She was putting her money where her mouth is. That is actual, like, you actually care, but just to sit and then complain and then not do anything, well, you're part of the problem. Tanya Rad was like, here are the teams I followed. Here's what I bought. Here's what I'm doing. Because she, like that, like, you actually care.
She's action solution oriented.
Solution oriented.
And the rest of you guys, not the Toasters because you're wonderful people, but, you know, society at large, are performative.
Just like complaining for the sake of complaining.
Yeah, a lot of talk, no action.
All talk, no action.
So... Congrats, Caitlin Clark. You deserve more.
Well, I'm hoping there are other sponsorships. Obviously, this is, you know, an exclusive when it comes to like apparel, probably sneakers, of course. But there are other partnerships out there. Like I said, State Farm would be great for her.
She's had deals with Gatorade.
Love.
Yeah. So keep on shining.
But what does deals mean? Deals can mean an Instagram post, you know?
That's true.
I want a multi-year contract.
She had a $4 million, a six... She received offers of over $16 million over 4 years from Under Armour, $6 million over 4 years from Adidas. Are you guys fucking kidding?
Disgraceful.
And I feel like these are the brands that are always trying to like move the needle on progress and like social change. And it's like, put your money where your mouth
is.
It's
so true.
Put your money where your big fat mouth is.
Oh, she told you, bitches.
All of you. Adidas, $6 million, you should be ashamed.
German
you should be seriously ashamed. How much do you give Kanye?
Facts. Facts of life. The facts of life.
They should be like seriously ashamed that that got out.
No, also like, Adidas is a German company, correct?
All day I dream about sports.
All day I dream about Hitler, like Adidas. Like they actually low-key should have done more like when it came to Kanye, given their background, you know?
Yeah.
Given their nationality.
I feel like they did everything they could.
No, I'm clowning on them. I feel as though they did the right thing, but it was
and
just
what like, did they wind up doing with all those sneakers? Also, people are still buying Yeezys. Like they were kind of in an impossible situation.
People are still buying Yeezys, except the real, and I need them to buy mine.
No, they're buying again.
Are they? Mm-hmm. Okay, I like have this box.
Yeah.
No, I've never worn.
I've never, and you're not gonna wear them?
They're so fucking ugly.
Oh.
Like it's crazy.
It was when we were brainwashed.
It was, no, I didn't buy them. We got them for free from our gift when we released Kanye's song for him, a decision I don't regret. Yeah. And that was like my gift. I guess that was like my payment, and I wanna sell them.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna throw them away.
You can sell them. They sell Yeezy and they're accepting Yeezy.
Like, are they going for a good price?
But don't worry, they're also doing Balenciaga still.
Right, correct.
Yeah, but it's so funny how their big announcement of canceling Yeezy was so loud and now it's like back.
Now it's back.
Yeah. Quietly.
Standing for nothing.
Everyone stands for nothing. That's what I'm trying to say, you guys.
Except the toast.
So do your thing, man.
I'ma do my thing.
Yeah. Everyone is so unscrupled. It's seriously farcical.
It's laughable.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
And they never don't disappoint. Are you ready for our next story?
I guess. What number?
3.
Yes.
Some Instagram drama in the Bierman family.
Oh my God. I'm so glad we're talking about this.
Ariana Bierman is slamming Kim Zolciak's clickbait post implying that Corey Bierman has died.
Okay.
So Kim Zolciak's latest clickbait post has given her daughter secondhand embarrassment through the roof. So she said on TikTok that she had a damn near heart attack when she saw her mom's black and white Instagram photo with her dad, Corey Bierman, and it was captioned hashtag rip, broken heart emoji, hashtag link in bio. So...
Okay, so Kim Zolciak does this thing, and a couple of housewives have done it over the years.
It's the Joe Giudice special.
It's the Joe Giudice special, where they're getting paid to post links to, like, fake tabloid news stories that are very clickbaity, that are full of fake news, but they get paid to share those articles on their social media, giving them a little bit more credence. People do click it because it's like, wait, this is from...
Yeah, it's like...
Teresa Giudice used to do it a lot. I think that was, like, before, you know, Jersey definitely made, like, a resurgence, and she was still paying her restitution, so, like, she needed the money. Kim has been doing it so much recently. I feel like it's really emblematic, if you will, of her dire financial circumstances. And both of her daughters have been speaking out about it on social media because a couple of weeks ago, she used this picture. Brielle, I think a couple of years ago, something happened. She either got into a car accident or she had her wisdom teeth taken out. There's like a picture of her in a hospital with like a tube in her mouth. Like it looks way worse than it is. And she had posted it at the time being like, I'm doing well. Thank you so much. Kim posted that photo being like, prayers for Brielle, link in bio. And Brielle and Ariana like posted on social media, like on their TikTok being like, yike. Like this is out of their control. They obviously are not getting approving this. And they're both been speaking out. And this Corey one is the latest one. I understand the dire financial circumstances, but it's really crazy to like use the idea of your husband and children being dead or injured were hospitalized for clickbait. Like, it's really crazy.
I just want to say, maybe I'm so social media literate, but when I saw this hashtag rip, like, I thought it was, like, rip the relationship because it was a picture of the two of them. It wasn't a picture of just Croy.
Oh.
I also feel like Brielle and Ariana need to kind of grow up. Like, mommy's making money.
Wow.
Kim should always fire off a text in the group chat. All's well,
yep.
About to post.
The thing is, I don't know if the family is at a point right now, and I don't know much, but I don't know if they're in a group chat type of place. Like, I think they're really broken
You think
right
they're
now.
Not speaking? Like,
I do.
Brianna and Ariana.
Brianna?
Aren't speaking to their mom.
I think things are worse than we know, honestly.
Really?
That's just the vibe that I get. I don't know that to be true for certain, but also, you said something, and I don't think we, I think we need to stress the importance of, you are extremely social media literate, and you have to think about like Bravo fans and no, social media users, older women, like they are not nearly as jaded. No,
they're
the ones
falling for it, and that's why they're swiping up, and that's why she's getting paid the big bucks. But I'm saying Brianna and Ariana need to
do better.
Like, know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's real. It's a crazy thing to do.
And that makes me sad to think that they're not close. I was operating from the premise like, oh, they're close and they're posting these follow-up stories that are also, it's all part of the cycle, right? Because now we're talking about their stories and we're all sort of winning here. But like, if you really saw your mom's story and thought that that was real, like, you so, should know better by now.
I follow Ariana on TikTok, and just the vibe that I get is like, she's mad at her mom, honestly. But I don't know. I don't know.
But she's close with Brielle.
I think the sisters are good. Yeah.
I'm just going to call them Brianna. From
I like that.
The sisters are good. That's good. And are they good with Croy? And are Kim and Croy still together? Or hashtag rib?
Unclear. You know what I need? I need to sit down one-on-one, Andy. He's done it with Luann.
I think the issue is that he would sit down with her today and tomorrow things would be different. You know, they're so back and forth.
I need a State of the Union Bierman version. Like, I need to know. I really don't know what's going on in the marriage. I don't know what's going on financially. I don't know what's going on with the sisters and their relationship with their mom. And this is a family I've invested years of my life to.
I guess I haven't been keeping up at all. So I'm kind of where they left me, which is like, this is a happy family.
No, I follow them all on social media, and like, it's really bad. But Brielle is, I feel like, you know, if you watch the show, she was like 18 and like, you know, her and her mom were like really close to the point where I think it was stifling her growth. She didn't want to go to college. She didn't want to move out. She did move out and moved back home. She loved being with her mom. She loved being at home with the chef and the kids. And now that she's engaged, I feel like she's really grown up a lot in the last year or two, in part because she has this relationship, but also in part because things have sort of fallen apart at home. And I do feel like she's sort of like out of it. I think she got engaged in Nashville, remember, or somewhere else outside of her home. Her family wasn't there.
Okay, but let me see like what the comments on her post. Like, if
and I follow Brielle on all social media platforms. She's one of my favorite people to follow.
Yeah, me too. Okay, engagement pictures. Did Kim comment?
Good question. But I feel like Kim's social media activity cannot be like, it cannot be an indication of anything that's really going on, because I feel like Kim's just like kind of like lost it, honestly.
Okay, but if she did comment, like it's so far down, which doesn't really make sense. Let me go see if like they follow each other.
I feel like they definitely follow each other, if I had to guess.
Yes.
It's devastating news.
Did Kim posted about the engagement. Yes. I'm happy for Brielle. Nothing makes me happier than seeing my kids happy. It's the best feeling ever. Love you both to the moon and back and look forward to all the years to come. Now, did Brielle comment? No. Did right. Brielle like? Yes.
I feel like Kim's posting on social media, like all is copacetic, all is good. And what I get from the girls' social media is that there's more to it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm getting from this. It's like there's not comments, but there's likes. Even though that doesn't always mean something's negative, because I like all Margot stuff, but apparently I don't comment enough.
Oh, yeah. Margot's like kind of been like,
she's been coming for the whole family that we don't comment on her stuff.
I don't comment on anything.
I just like,
Margo's also shadow banned for me. I was talking about that on the Patreon yesterday. Margo joined the Patreon yesterday. We did a video and audio episode with a Tortured Poets Department recap, talking about theories, our favorite lyrics, favorite songs, hot take. You know, some of us, you know, we're over Jack Antonoff. But in the beginning, we did a proper catch up with the snitch because she hasn't been on the toast in a while.
You just know Jack Antonoff would be on the soundtrack for Fiddler on the Roof producing.
Get rid of him. You know who needs to be? Oh my God. Wait, I'm so sorry. I was thinking this last night. Do you know who needs to be in it? I think he would be great as the role of the second daughter's radical socialist friend, Josh Groban. Okay. He's Jewish.
He is?
Yes.
Okay. He's a little old, but it's easier for men.
Yes.
And also he could be old. Well, he came from university in Kiev, so like he's supposed to be 20, but okay.
We'll Josh Groban.
Yeah.
And I need him to be on the soundtrack.
To lend his vocals.
Yeah. And who's the guy who did the Beauty and the Beast soundtrack who we always talk about?
Alan.
Mankin. And Bill Condon. I need them both involved in the project.
And then who's the other? Oh, Hans Zimmer.
He's good.
You know who I want on it? A trusted, not a Jew, but a trusted musician.
Let me think. Not a Jew, but a trusted musician. John Mayer. I don't know. There could be a million.
David Foster.
Agreed. And he gives like Elders of Zion energy as well.
Yeah. No, he's...
He doesn't feel radical to me.
He's approved. Like, it can't be... I guess you could do like an all-Jewish production, but like... There's no need.
And they're a talented Goyim.
Yeah, like...
They deserve the job, too.
Yeah.
If they can contribute in a meaningful way.
And, like, lighting directors.
Yeah, oh, of course. No, some of the PAs don't have to be Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, like, on camera.
Yeah. Like, the important roles.
Yeah, I think that's so fair.
Me, too.
So Corey Bierman is alive.
Thank God.
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem, there is a God.
Are you ready for our next story?
What number?
4.
No.
Okay.
Is it our next story that's brought to you perhaps by Quince?
Yes, it is.
The weather is unfortunately getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to our jackets and sweaters, but it's time to say hello to shorts, tees, tanks. We want to update our wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily, we have Quince. We've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep us looking effortlessly chic year after year. We've talked a lot on The Toast recently about how we are no longer buying like disposable clothing. We are investing in less pieces, but better pieces that will withstand the test of time, that are perfect for a capsule wardrobe that you can wear multiple times, multiple styles, multiple ways, and Quince is the perfect place for that. They've got European linen dresses, blouses, shorts from $30. They've got washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And the best part of Quince is that all of their items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, but they are made just as well. They do that by partnering directly with top factories. They are cutting the cost of the middleman, and they're passing the savings on to us, the customer. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes that we love. I've got great linen pants from Quince that I'm gonna be wearing all summer long. I've got great things for winter, great things for spring, summer, and I've had them for a while and they wear really well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/toast for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/toast to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/toast, quince.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Mary and George, our new favorite show on Stars. Mary and George is a Stars original, inspired by the story of Mary Villiers, who molded her beautiful and charismatic son, George, to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Throughout outrageous scheming, the pair rose from humble beginnings and eventually became the richest, most titled, and influential players the English court had ever seen. You know, we love, love, love a biopic energy, you know? Mm-hmm. We love things, a period piece. We love stories based on real events, and especially ones we hadn't heard of. The story of Mary and George is kind of this crazy historical moment that I feel like most people don't know about before they watch the show. And it's star-studded. So Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine are starring in the show. Critics are calling it obsessed, calling it sexy, witty, and darkly rewarding. You can watch Mary and George only on Stars and the Stars app. Jax and I, you know, we love a period piece, whether it's a book, a TV show, a movie. Mary and George is no exception. Mary is played by Julianne Moore, and she pretty much, her character has nothing to her name, but she's desperate to elevate her social standing, which is a really sort of relatable character arc for someone like me. And then Nicholas Galitzine is in it, and he's just hot as hell. So watch it now on Stars. You can watch it in the Stars app. It's fabulous. It's sexy. It's period piece. The costuming is fabulous. The set design is gorgeous. Great characters, great story. And you learn something about history. And we love learning things. You know what we love to do here at The Toast? Listen and learn. So when we sit down to watch Mary and George, what are we doing? We are listening and we are learning.
Thank you, La.
You're welcome.
Our next story is a bit of shopping retail trending news.
Okay, SRTN.
Walmart is removing self-checkouts and swapping back to traditional lanes in two of its stores, which do signal kind of a landmark movement.
Right, if it works, they're going to do the rest.
In the biggest retailer. Now, they say it's they're replacing the kiosks with staffed checkout lanes, which will give our associates the chance to provide more personalized and efficient service. But the truth is, it's because of theft. Because people are using the self-checkout lanes, not swiping everything, and they are seeing those negative impacts in their bottom line.
But the thing is, like, why now put a nice employee who's just trying to do their job potentially in harm's way with a criminal?
I think criminals gonna criminal, right? They're not also going through the checkout line to do their thing. But I do think the self-checkout lines have kind of made everyday criminals out of people who maybe wouldn't have been, because it's like, who's gonna know if that I don't swipe this
two
one?
Water bottles,
right,
instead of one?
And I'm just not me.
No, I've never.
I'm a law-abiding citizen, like a fucking fool.
Actually, you know, the one time I did steal something, it was completely on accident, and it was at a self-checkout line at a CVS. And I went back the next day when I was in college because I was really sick. So I went and I bought, you know, I bought a heating pad. I bought all the drugs over the counter, and I forgot to pay for the heating pad, and it was like $40. So I brought it back the next day because I felt really bad.
Fool,
a fool's errand.
Fool.
But you know, even for someone who's not trying to be a criminal, people doing their absolute best to use the self-checkout machine properly, even they could end up either just through
human error.
Human error or pure fatigue. Like, it's not scanning, it's not scanning. It's a $3 pack, a 3 cent pack of gum. I'm throwing it in the bag. Yes, I could see how that might happen too.
I think there are degrees to the theft ongoing. One, just criminal activity being worse. Of course, has really not much to do with the self-checkout machine. Two, people kind of realizing they can get away with stuff, intentionally stealing, you know, mm-hmm. but not thousands of dollars, but a thing it here and there. But it adds up if everyone's doing it. And then three, human error. Oh, I thought that scanned. It didn't pick up. I didn't see everything in my cart.
No, I'm certainly not going to like work super hard to double check that everything in my basket scanned properly the right amount of times.
Right.
I'm definitely like, you know, laissez-faire when it comes to the self-checkout.
Yeah. I think this is kind of a big deal if this is what it means for stores that, you know, Walmart's one of the biggest stores in the country, but this must be happening on smaller levels everywhere else. Plus, I'm sure, you know, not having to pay people.
They're saving them money.
Was saving them money, but they did build these big machines. You know how I feel about a self-checkout machine. It's crazy because on the one hand, I find them so frustrating and they're not intuitive and that frustrates me. But on the other hand, I don't like talking to people. So you would think like I would go for the self-checkout. But I'm a traditional girl. I like the lane.
Well, I want to say that, you know, we've all now just started to really be able to manage the self-checkouts. Just as we're conquering them, they take them away.
Self-checkout literacy.
But I do feel like having one in a store or two is so super helpful. You know, everyone's been in a grocery store where you literally are buying two things and the person in front of you is buying, you know, for a small nation. And it's frustrating. And having that option is super helpful. But if people can't control themselves, this is why we can't have nice things. And, you know, we will suffer. The common man who's not a criminal will suffer.
Well, they do have express lanes.
They're never open.
And this is the way we've grocery shopped for decades.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy. We're literally moving backwards.
Yeah.
As a society. And you're right. Even though it's two Walmart stores, it's obviously a test to see how it goes. It will probably be a bigger rollout. And Walmart is the biggest retail chain in this country. Everyone's going to follow what they do. Everyone already does follow what they do.
I'm sure everyone's like been, you know, in secret meetings being like, these machines kind of stink and we're profits are lower.
It's disgraceful.
So you played yourselves, everyone. I don't know what the windup was on whether or not people like these machines.
You know what? When I see them, and because I'm a capable human being, I like
them. You flock to them.
I do. Now, I imagine an elder person might not. And that's why we should have options for everyone.
Yeah. But the future would be to have no.
Well, the real future, I guess, is how they have you ever been to one of those like Amazon Go stores where you like sign in with your Amazon account and then when you walk out, they scan everything that's in your basket and you don't have to pay. You just walk out with the basket.
Interesting. Well, I use Apple Pay, so I live in the year 3000.
Yeah, we're kind of living in the future.
Yeah, I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but I use Apple Pay. So, yeah, you're kind of not on my level. Deal with it.
You know what's so funny? Have the Jonas Brothers ever outsold Kelly Clarkson? Like, she remained on top, you know, all these years later. We had outsold Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, Dream On.
Dream On, Dream On.
Maybe they did.
Keep canceling those European legs.
Kelly had a few dark years.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of her Roman Empire and the chip on her shoulder. And I'm sure in those years, like her managers were probably like, if only you were like the Jonas Brothers.
But I want to say, I feel like Kelly's dark years kind of like lined up perfectly with the Jonas Brothers' dark years where they were off. Like DNCE probably never outsold Kelly Clarkson. Jealous by Nick Jonas might have.
Yeah, it depends what you consider her dark years, because I feel like there was two things. One, when her record label, like kind of, she had to switch record labels after American Idol. That was when we got that album. One of her really early albums, like, let me see which one it was. I know the cover. That was like a dark time for her. But then I feel like there was also a time.
I'm talking about the second one.
That wasn't a dark time, but she was criminally underrated. My December. Yeah.
And industry people like wouldn't give her the
Kelly's
time of day.
This is Kelly's Roman Empire, where they were trying to make her someone she wasn't. She had to switch record labels because of American Idol. You don't know any of these songs, mm-hmm. really.
You know what we need? Oh my God. We need a Kelly Clarkson documentary.
Yeah, we do. And I would say all I ever wanted in Stronger were when she was like taking her power back, but she wasn't getting the praise she deserves, because those are some of the greatest albums.
We really, really, really need a Kelly Clarkson documentary.
I agree.
Like a 5-part series.
Or a memoir. Memoirs of a Kelly.
Like, yeah, but I feel like documentaries just like have a way, more people watch documentaries than read, you know? Like, and we needed to have the most sort of impact on the culture.
No, but the thing is, Kelly has her flowers now. So it's not like people's minds need to be changed. I just feel like for Kelly, she has a chip. She hides
all
it better.
All great women do.
She hides it better than us.
She's got a chip on her shoulder.
I just know, like, she's thinking, like, where were you for me in 2007?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Kelly, I was listening.
She was. She was.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yes.
Some legal news. The Senate passes the TikTok ban bill, setting up a legal battle between the app and the U.S. on First Amendment issues.
So this thing is just, like, chugging along.
Chug-a-lug-a-lugging.
No, I just never know.
No, and it's like... So does it need to still pass the House? No, is, like, TikTok open today?
I also don't know. I feel like a couple of years ago, like, we got to this inflection point again and still nothing happened. So it's hard to, like, almost take it seriously because it's sort of giving Boy Who Cried Wolf energy.
Yeah. The U.S. Senate voted on Tuesday to approve a bill that would ban TikTok nationwide unless Chinese parent company ByteDance sells its stake in the popular app. The development will likely result in a court battle between the U.S. and TikTok, which argues that the legislation violates the First Amendment. And if TikTok loses that fight, there's a real chance it could be shut off for Americans.
It's a big if, though.
Yeah, a lot of ifs have to happen. They could also sell.
Correct. Which is what was supposed to happen last time. An American company, if an American company bought it, all issues go out the window, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Legally.
For this sake, yeah. It's interesting precedent.
It is.
I would
it's
say.
So crazy.
Of course, I have selfish interests in TikTok being banned.
Yeah, you do. Me too. I don't have enough followers on there.
So
ban it.
If you were, like, in charge, and not based on constitution, but based on, like, your personal preference, do you want TikTok to be banned?
Oh, that's such a good question.
And don't worry about the precedent or, like, First Amendment issues, because like, that takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah. Let me think.
If you woke up tomorrow and TikTok, no one could open TikTok anymore.
The crazy thing is, I love TikTok and I spend a lot of time on there. I don't think it would affect me so much. It certainly wouldn't affect my business, which I think is great. That's why I'm not worrying about this the way other creators are.
Yeah.
Creators who's, and so many, this was like, you know, during COVID, so many people quit their jobs, became full-time creators, and they don't have that sort of audience or engagement on other platforms. They're not like multi-platform creators. They're just TikTok creators. And that certainly poses an issue for them, and I'm sympathetic.
Fascinating. Answer the question.
No, I wouldn't ban TikTok. I love it.
You don't want to wake up tomorrow and not be able to access TikTok.
I mean, I think it would be really actually amazing for my mental health and my productivity, but, like, who wants that? You know?
Okay.
We don't even need
Turney
to ask
says
you.
No, I say yes.
We know. I wasn't going to ask you the question back.
Oh, yeah.
I do also, like, there's so many different answers. Like, if you ask me from any sort of perspective, for the youth and for my future children, yes, I want it banned. I think it's destructive for the health and sanity and the well-being. I mean, look at this generation.
Yeah.
They're radicalized isn't even the right word. Yeah. And I do think TikTok's a part of that. I think a lot of them go on social media and become radicalized and end up loving Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. You hate to see it.
So, yes, for that reason, yes.
Okay.
For my own personal entertainment. But that's because I'm sound of mind. And I can't say that about everybody.
Right. But don't you feel like it's hard to constantly keep these two things apart? Like to fight against the rising tides of TikTok trying to brainwash you? Do you find that to be hard?
Do I find it hard to not get brainwashed, you mean?
Yeah, and just like to constantly be fighting against like what you know they're trying to do to you.
No. Like I said, I am sound of mind and I'm principled and I know who I am and I know what I stand for. A lot of people can't say that. And that's not an insult to them. A lot of it has to do with age and it being an app that targets young people while also—
It's not a coincidence.
It's not. So I guess.
Okay. Well, we look forward to more conversations because it seems like, you know, this is a lot of talk, no action yet.
Old talk. No,
like
action.
In court cases go on forever, right?
No,
I should be a jury member on this trial.
You're literally not impartial.
No. I would be the first one sent home.
They would kick you off immediately. Speaking of jurors, let's talk about the conspiracy theory that juror number 9 in the current trial against Donald Trump is a toaster. Now, they released a lot of information about the jurors, and I've not been following this, but I follow Moshe on Instagram, and yeah. I was like, wait, what is this? And
I'm going to pull it up, and I have more to the theory.
Obviously, like, it's really difficult to find jurors because you need to be impartial, but everyone who lives in America in some way is political. So they did this thing where they had all the jurors and they released information about the jurors. Now jurors are of course anonymous, but they released information about the jurors basically saying—
And where they get their news.
Here's where they get their news and here's what sort of media they're into. Now a lot of people, there was one guy who listened to Smartless, so they name dropped Smartless. He said it was his favorite podcast. Oh, some of them said, I like get my information from NPR. So juror number 9, please read the statistics of juror number 9.
I'm trying to find it. How many
Moshe?
Days ago? Yeah.
Like 3 days. And it was okay. Like a blue and white graphic.
Blue.
Black text.
No, I know, but there's always a cover photo first, you know?
Fuck.
Hold on.
You want me to look to it?
Yeah. The testimony began, which means they already picked the jurors.
He posts so many times a day.
Right. No what shade. Would you pick for a picture of jury people?
Like a courtroom of no.
We'll get it.
It's important.
It is important.
Juror number 9, reveal yourselves.
Is she listening now?
Reveal yourselves.
I feel like I'm too far down.
Me too.
2 weeks ago. Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was this week while we were together.
Okay, now I'm just going to have to do this.
Let me start.
Oh, wait, no. Like, what is more uninteresting than this? Two people scrolling on their phones.
You guys just like, you'll be okay.
Got it.
Where was it?
Juror number 9. She listens to podcasts about reality TV and gets the New York Times and CNN newsletters. Now, the latter half doesn't really sound like a toaster, but the first half, she listens to podcasts about reality TV. However, I do want to say, if this person was a true toaster, they would know how much like this media moment meant to us and they would have name dropped.
Perhaps, but no, that's why I feel like the media is censoring us. I feel like it is, that's why it makes me feel like it is the toast, but they had no problem saying, oh, they
juror number 7 is married with children and likes the podcast Smartless and Car Talk.
Right, they had no problem dropping those, but they don't want to give us any shine. That's why I feel like it's us.
Well, juror number 9, I'm sure you're listening to this in between, you know, maybe on your lunch break, ignoring the other jurors. And if you are listening to this and this message does make your way and you are a toaster, let me tell you this, reach out. We will, of course, not really reveal your identity.
No, but like she seriously can't. You can't.
I know. You can't identify. After you can.
Yeah. And I hope she gives an exclusive interview to the toast. But if you mess around with this stuff, like, well, first
we're
of all,
not getting
they kick you off the jury. And then
no,
we
and
have
it's
no
a mistrial.
Then we have no toasters. On
we're not
the
getting involved. We're not getting involved. Of course not. We would never.
But juror number 9 is a toaster. And we've been meaning to mention that.
And you sound amazing. Yeah. Okay. Next
good
up,
luck.
Good luck.
Vote for Elle.
Vote for L. Next up is Dear Toasters, our weekly advice segment that we do every Wednesday here at The Toast, where you can write into us via email, deartoasters@gmail.com, or you can head over to our website, thetoastpodcast.com, and there's a little submission box. It's totally anonymous. If there's something going on in your life and you're like, I really would love to hear the swirlies, you have a weekly opportunity to do that. So today we have 3 great submissions from 3 girlies in need, okay? And our first one is tackling a very popular, debatable, widely debated subject here in America, AI. Hey, swirlies, let me cut to the chase. My boyfriend was having sexual conversations with an AI robot chat. It had been going on for quite some time, so it wasn't just a one-time thing. He said he thought it was a real person, which I don't know if that makes it better or worse. How big of a red flag is that? Thanks.
That's cheating. He thought it was a real person. That makes it so much worse.
Makes it worse. Let's go both routes. He either really thought it was a human being, which is worse. He's cheating on you emotionally, verbally. But let's say he thought it was an AI robot. He knew it was an AI robot and was like fucking around AI. He's a freak.
Yeah.
And red flag, goodbye, like break up.
No, he's cheating on you, period.
Break up with your boyfriend. AI chat because he's bored, like goodbye. And also, I don't know, I feel like he knew it was an AI. Like. Which,
and that's weird, like he's robot sexual.
No, it's giving that movie. It's giving Ex Machina. Did you ever see that movie?
One day they're gonna like clip this and be like, she said a robot sexual derogatory.
No, but did you ever see Ex Machina?
No.
He like falls in love with Alicia Vikander and she's a robot and then she ends up like locking him in the house for all eternity. But he was a freak. And look, he fucked around and found out because he ended up dying. So your boyfriend could end up dead. Do you want a dead boyfriend?
No.
Break, like we hate to always.
This is clear as day.
Yeah, we hate to always, when people write in about their relationships, we're always inclined to say, this is fucking weird, break up with your boyfriend. And we try to reserve breakup. We always try to work through things, but this is very clearly a breakup with your boyfriend situation.
Mm-hmm.
So rip to this relationship, but good news is that you're single. Where are we going? Mexico? All right, next up. Hey, Jackson Turd, I'm a huge fan. I look forward to listening to you guys every day and I need some advice. My husband of 3 years is truly amazing and I love him dearly. However, in the last 6 months, he has become an actual doomsday prepper. He's always been someone who has kept up with world news on a normal level, but lately he has been off his rocker. I'm talking, we have an entire room full of dehydrated food, survival kits, gas masks, emergency plans, etc. And don't even get me started on the survival shows he insists us watching every night after we both have worked all day. It's becoming annoying to listen to, and it's also getting hella expensive. Am I being a naggy bitch wife, or should I just tell him enough? Love a toaster who may or may not be in a bunker by the time you're reading this.
Okay, like, here's the thing.
Are you a doomsday prepper?
I'm not a doomsday prepper, but, like, I sympathize, and I like, he's not entirely wrong for all that. But the thing is, like, even if you're a doomsday person and you really think like all these things are coming, you still have to like live your life. And if it's this, like, there's always a little prep, always good, you know, a Judy kit.
That's what I was gonna say. I'm not a doomsday prepper, but I have kits in my closet. I have the Judys.
A million things could always happen, you know, but you cannot live every single day of your life as if the world is ending, because like then you're not living.
Right. And you might as well, seriously, the world might be over for you because you're not enjoying life.
So I love a man who's prepared for all eventual
fatalities.
Outcomes, but he's got to get on with life, and he just needs like a little bit of perspective. And I feel like you can support him in his prep, because at the end of the day, he's like looking out for you guys, but he has to live his life and enjoy. And you, okay, so now you have the dehydrated jams, like you're good.
The gas masks.
Let's go to the lake.
The gas masks is crazy.
It's good to have a gas mask.
No, of course, but to spend your personal free time, like where you would otherwise be entertained, consuming more content on survival, like, it's true, you're not living life to the fullest.
And like, let him know that he's more prepared than anyone else. And the thing is, if things like, if there was something that he didn't watch that he needed to watch and you guys like don't make it because of that, then like it wasn't meant to be. Yeah. You know, you can't, you have to kind of like let things go, or they will literally like drive you into a bunker underground.
No, it's true. And this is truly how like crazy, like, you know, you hear those stories about like the couple who lived underground for 40 years because they thought, this is how it starts.
No, it's like the book Educated. You should give him that book and be like, do you want to end up like them? No.
Ooh, I like that. That's a great Dear Toasters, where we also recommend a book to the person in need.
Yeah, you should read that book.
Great. What's it called?
Educated.
Okay.
It's a true story.
I really like the...
Be like, this is what our kids are going... This is going to be their life if, like, you don't stop this. Leave the jams. Leave the dehydration and the gas mask. Like, they're over there. Don't worry. Let's go have a drink at the bar.
Let's go, girls.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, a book recommendation for Dear Toasters.
Yeah. And like also seeing him, you know, recognizing like, of course, things could happen. Thank you for preparing for us. We can't live our life like this.
We can't go on it like this any longer. No. All right, our third and final Dear Toasters, I feel like, is sort of a universal thing that we should talk about.
Mm.
Hey, Jackson Claude, I'm a Gen Z toaster here in need of advice. Oh, she hasn't been radicalized yet.
Mm.
I dated this guy in college who was a very typical frat boy. It was not a great relationship. We did long distance in the summers, and in those times, I sent him quite a few explicit pictures. We've been broken up for 2 years, but I just know he saved those pictures in a secret app on his phone. I randomly will think about the fact that he might still have them, and I'm horrified at the thought that he might use them. Do I reach out after all this time to ask him if he deleted them or to delete them, or do I just let it go and take this as a lesson learned? Sincerely, a toaster with college regrets.
Ugh. So
with the advent of the cell phone, I think a lot of people who sent nude photos like quiver. Like it's one of those things that keep them up at night.
Yeah. And it sounds like nothing nefarious has happened thus far. I feel like.
I also don't want to alert him to the fact that like this is something, he has something of value to you. And he was such an asshole.
Yeah. And like let him know that you're, and also maybe he maybe forgot about them. Maybe they're on an old phone and then like you remind him that he has them. I think it's something that you.
Just, let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah, and make peace with. And think about the worst case scenario of what could happen with those. What's the worst thing he could do with them? I don't know. Think about it. What's the worst thing to you? What are you so worried about?
Like he sends it to your employer.
Think about if that, first of all, like any employer that got some revenge porn, like I would feel so sorry for this person. That would not affect my employment of them.
It also is illegal.
Yeah. Think about the worst thing that he could do with them and make peace with that.
Yeah.
And see how like it would be okay afterwards. And I do think you have to like, take it as a lesson learned. There's not really much you could do. Even if you reached out to him, like he's not going to delete them if he's been using them. And if he hasn't been using them, then he forgot that he has them.
That's the thing. He's not thinking about it as much as you are. And if you send him a text message alerting him to that, let's say you guys ended on bad terms or he's just a fucking prick. He might go back into that old iPhone, start it back up and send them to the new phone. Let them die on the old phone. The more time moves on, the more likeliness is that he didn't transfer them to a new phone.
Yeah.
But what's the lesson here? And I think this is a universal lesson for girls in the digital age. I mean, every time I signed into an app, my password was leaked for my, you know, Instacart delivery. We are not secure. And no. I, not to be like a prude loser, I do not recommend sending nude photos. I don't.
Yeah.
So take that.
If you have other advice or experience with this, like please share because I'm asking listeners because I feel for this writer.
Me too.
That's a tough spot to be in, but you have to make peace with it is my advice.
I think so too.
Or else it'll just like eat you alive.
And Jackie's right. Like the absolute worst case scenario that you can come up with in your mind in reality will never happen. And two, it's probably not that bad. It's worse in your mind.
What's the worst thing? I don't know. But whatever it is, like you'll be okay. Know that you will be okay.
And the good thing about nudes is like you obviously like pour over it before you send it. So you probably look great.
Yeah.
Nobody just like takes a rogue photo. They look at every angle, every wrinkle, every crease. And you probably look great. So that's a silver lining. Very mm-hmm. small silver lining.
Yeah. You've got to let go.
You've got to let go. This will eat you alive.
Mm-hmm.
That is Dear Toasters, and that is our show. It's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you all this morning. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast. The Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So, if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give us a video thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts and where podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts, find us, The Toast. Leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing, incredible day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Love ya. Bye.